This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This is All Fantasy Everything, the podcast where we fantasy draft anything and everything from the world of pop culture. On today's episode, we're drafting fictional doctors. Our guest today is a wonderful stand-up comedian, a podcaster, our dear friend, Ryan Sickler. I'm your host, Ian Carmel, and with me as always are my dear friends, Sean Jordan and David Borey, also very talented stand-up comedians in their own right, and beautiful men wearing baseball hats the two ways you can. Let's get into it. Welcome to another brand new episode of All Fantasy Everything, where February continues our month of brand new guests.
Yeah, dude.
Ryan, you can talk whenever.
Okay. Thank you for having me, guys.
How you doing, Playboy? This is sick, man. I'm excited. Thank you. This rules.
Dude, Toby, the podcast we ever did was in a hotel room. And was it the Bridgetown Festival? I think it was, wasn't
no,
it?
No, you guys were here for Funny Over Everything. And, yeah, it was you and Larson, and Jay was, I'd never met either one of you, and Jay just starts ironing his shirt in the room, and I was like, no way, he did not. And then he just laid on the bed, and we did the crab feast.
Without an iron, man.
I still don't know how to do it.
You don't know how to iron?
You don't know how to iron?
Every wedding we go to, Laura, she like teaches me. She reteaches me every time, and I still am like, I'm going to burn it if I do it. Your wedding was the last time, Ian. I was like, you got to do
burn it.
Can't burn it, man.
You gotta, yeah, what are you talking about?
Burn it, man.
You gotta make I think you can burn it. Burn.
You've How never burned
your
it.
Iron, bro? You just got like a hot piece of iron?
He has a piece of basalt that he heats up on a stovetop.
Same thing I used to sharpen my knives with before I go hunt. I just heat up a pumice stone.
You know, it might be a good, like, you're looking for these things to watch while you're walking on the treadmill, right?
Yep.
It might be good to just queue up, and like I'm saying this for myself too, because I have a ton of blind spots, just like things that adults do that I just have not figured out how to do yet. There's got to be YouTube videos
for ironing.
I learned how to tie a tie off of YouTube.
Yeah, definitely.
Same here.
I learned how to tie the double Windsor, the Cadillac of knots off of YouTube. Nobody else taught me. You don't even need parents anymore. Just go to YouTube.
You can completely parent yourself. Now, I know how to iron, but I'm sure there's things I don't know how to do.
That was unnecessary.
I'm just saying. I want for the listeners to know, if you come up to me with some wrinkled pants, I'll send you home with some with a nice crease.
I also know how to iron. It's really easy, Sean.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
All right.
Can you do laundry?
Yeah.
Well, that's harder to do than ironing is why I'm asking that question.
Sean.
Yes, sir.
Do you know how to fold a piece of paper?
Yeah.
You can iron, bro.
Yeah, there it is.
You can iron.
Yeah, I can fold paper. You just crumple it up, right? Get it as small as it goes, crumbling. Put it in your pocket.
That's crumbling. I said fold.
I'm not condescending to you about this ironing thing because the stain game is a complete mystery to me. I don't know what to do with stains, which way to handle them. I have no idea. I just throw a t-shirt out.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what to do with it.
That's throw Oxy 10 on that. I have a kid. We all have kids. You don't get stains out? Does everybody on here?
I don't have a kid.
No, David and I don't have
I'm
kids.
I'm the only one.
But I do have dish soap and an immediate want for there to not and be a stain water. In my shirt.
Yeah.
I have high blood pressure, which I feel like is kind of like having a kid.
Yeah, dog. It's going
to... You need to take care of it.
It's the thing I got to think about every day. You know, keep an eye on it there. That one of the guys with a kid here, Sean S. Jordan on Twitter, Sean Cougar Melon Jordan on Instagram. Sean, yeah. Where can... This is going to be coming out.
The 22nd.
There he is.
Well, come see me tomorrow at the Comedy/Bar in Seattle with Ian. And then in New Orleans, March 8th and 9th. Boise, we're doing a live AFE March 23rd. Also, the special is done. We have it all done. It's finalized. All the artworks. Everything is done. It's going to be coming out mid-March. We don't have an exact date yet, but I'm going to be making a separate Patreon page for that. I'm going to put a bunch of free content on that page. And then... You know, the special will be there and details to follow, but I'll get that link out. I'll try to get it out this week. And again, I'm going to put out some free content. I have some ideas that I'm going to throw out there, kind of not releasing them yet, but it'll be fun. All of it's going to be good. And if you sign up there, then you'll be the first to get notifications and everything. And I'm really looking forward to it. I worked super hard on it. Laura produced the whole thing. She directed the whole thing. She did everything. It's all about her and Maxine. So I'm very proud of it. I worked really, really, really hard on it. And I'm excited for everyone to get the chance to see it. Other than that, just be happy, smile, be cool.
Fantastic. David Bory is here. Cool Guy Jokes 87 on Instagram. I think I'm getting sick.
Oh, take care of it. Nip it in the bud.
Flu game. I'm hydrating like crazy.
Get some echinacea.
You believe in sickness, huh? All right.
Cool Guy Jokes 87 on Instagram.
Yeah, that's right.
Watch Royal Crackers coming out February 29th on Adult Swim and then the next day on streaming on Max. And that's my big thing.
Fantabulous. My name is Ian Carmel, at Ian Carmel on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all those places. Pre-order my book, T-Shirt Swim Club, 13 essays about being fat that I wrote from a comedic angle. And then my little sister, a clinical psychologist, comes in from an actual knowing what she's talking about angle. I could draft her, but she's real. Come see me tomorrow night in Seattle, Comedy/Bar with Sean Jordan. I will be at Sports Drink in New Orleans, March 8th and 9th, also with Sean Jordan. And then the next week at the Punchline in San Francisco, March 13th through the 16th. And then in Portland, Oregon, Revolution Hall, recording my special to me. Tickets still available for The Late Show. And then, yeah, come see us at those other places that we've already talked about. Ryan Sickler is here, at Ryan Sickler on Twitter. Is it at Ryan Sickler on Instagram as well?
Ross Platts, right?
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com.
Anywhere you need it. Where can people frequent your wares?
Come see me on the road. I'm actually going to be in Winnipeg March 1st and 2nd. I'm in Omaha, Nebraska, March 29th and 30th. I'm in Columbus, Ohio, April 12th and 13th.
Come fuck with us. Now, we are gathered here today to fantasy draft a topic chosen by our beloved all family members on the Patreon. We put up a few options suggested by you, and then you voted on them, and you chose fictional doctors.
Yeah.
A topic I was skeptical about at first and then dove in.
Oh, there's a grip.
A rich vein.
There's so many.
In Abundant Valley.
Yeah.
Sean Jordan, now I know you've seen every episode of Grey's Anatomy.
I sure have, cover to cover, baby. And there are some doctors in that show. So, yeah, I got a list. It's not just janitors, man. It's doctors. And scrubs. One of my favorite shows of all time. So I'm sitting pretty.
You got a lot to draw from. Are you, Ryan, David, are you guys medical show fans?
No, but enough.
Okay.
And there's like movies and books.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Shit. But yeah, there was, I did not, it wasn't too tough, actually, the list.
Yeah, it was easier than I thought as well. But I went a couple deep cuts just because I felt like there would be some overlap. And Sean said one's off the board. It's off the board. So I'm trying to get all five of mine on this board.
I feel it.
Yeah, dude, I got one deep cut that I can't even say with a straight face. It'll be fun. I'm excited.
Oh, if it's saved up.
I bet it is.
Well, let's get into it. No reason to delay any further. The way we determine the order of this draft is through a rollicking game of rock, paper, scissors played between the three of you and we throw on shoot. Here we go. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, David wins. Unnatural victory.
Unnatural victory. Flying in the face of God, a paper against two scissors. David, as the winner of Rock, Paper, Scissors, it is incumbent upon you to determine the order of today's draft. But before you do that, I will remind you, it is a serpentine draft.
And what is that?
That's a great question.
It's like playing Snake on the Nokia. I don't know if I've ever even said it before. You know that old sure Snake in Nokia? I might have said it 300 episodes ago,
but what
are we doing?
That's all right.
It's, back and forth, down a little bit each way. Just like a snake, baby.
Easy peasy. If you pick fourth in the first round, you pick first in the second round. David, with that in mind, what will the order of today's fictional Doctor's Fantasy Draft be?
We're going to go Sickler first. I'll go second. Then we're going to go Ian and Sean just to fuck it up a little.
Holy buckets.
Just to fuck it up a little bit.
Hot corner, baby. I'm out here. I got back-to-backs. I might go same show back-to-back.
Feel like I'm eating microwave soup. I feel weird. It's hot and cold. It's hot and cold at the same time.
So I'm going first through fourth. Is that right?
You're going first and fifth.
First and eighth, technically, and then ninth, and then 11th and 12th, 12th and 13th, or whatever
it is. Picture yourself playing Snake on your phone, if at any point it gets confusing.
Tailed ahead. I got it.
That's right. That's right. And we're going to get to that bit. Well, before we do, I'm afraid we have to take an extremely short, the shortest you've ever even conceived of, break. We'll be right back.
This episode of All Fantasy Everything is brought to you by Wondery. The early 2000s was a breeding ground for bad reality competition series from shows like Kid Nation, CBS's weird, like Lord of the Flies style social experiment that took 40 kids to live by themselves in a ghost town. Sounds insane. To The Swan, a horrifying concept where women spent months undergoing a physical transformation and then were made to compete in a beauty pageant. Also sounds insane. On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Recently, The Big Flop looked at The Swan, a competition show between women who were hoping to transform their physical appearance. The problem, the women were isolated for weeks, berated, operated on, and then were ranked by a panel of judges. Unsurprisingly, it led to trauma for the contestants and terrible reviews. Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus. This episode of All Fantasy Everything is brought to you by Policy Genius. Now, something you can really do for your family this spring, something you want to do. Sure, you want to go get in shape. You want to learn how to do the splits. You know, you got to redo the bathroom. One thing you can do, that's all me, by the way. I want to learn how to do the splits. Shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the year. Getting life insurance just means that you have a peace of mind. So if something's going to happen to you, if it were to happen to you, your family can cover the expenses while getting back on their feet. That's what life insurance is for. And luckily, Policy Genius helps you compare your options from top life insurance companies and their team of licensed experts. They're on hand just to kind of talk you through it. So I have life insurance through no effort of my own. My wife did everything as she does, but I was sort of on the sidelines of the project. And it was such a hard thing she had to do. She had to go through and compare everything, find all the quotes herself. But it helps me sleep tremendously, especially now that we have a kid. Also, it's a bummer to talk about, but once you get it out of the way, you don't have to talk about it again. And that's where Policy Genius comes in. They make it the easiest and quickest possible situation you can have. Policy Genius has licensed award-winning agents, technology that makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers. Just a few clicks, you're going to find the lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams, which, you know, I've always wanted to avoid unnecessary medical exams. Nothing new for your boy. So if that sounds like something you're into, Policy Genius can get it done. They also work for you, not the insurers. That means they don't have some sort of quota they got to meet. They're not hitting like bonus numbers or anything. They just want you to get the best quote possible and the best insurance for you. So they're out for you, not the insurance companies, which I'll let you boy. That's what we're looking for. Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
And we're back. Welcome back to All Fantasy Everything. We're here with Ryan Sickler. We're drafting fictional doctors. We all look moisturized and handsome, every single one of us, in the prime of our lives.
It is attractive.
That's right. Ryan Seckler, what is your first pick, the first pick in the draft?
All right, the first pick in the draft. This is a deep cut. I'm a little older, and I just actually had a conversation with his daughter at the Comedy Store the other night. I'm going with Chevy Chase from Fletch, Dr. Oh, yeah. Rhodes and Penis. That's the word.
Oh, that was my.
I still think about it. He turns around. And she's like, "What's your name, sir?" He's like, "Oh, Dr. Rosen Penis. I'm here to see that." He just drops it right in there, and it's you.
It's just so. You know, I haven't seen Fletch in a minute, man. It's one of the movies where I'm like, I keep meaning that should be the treadmill jam for a minute. That could get me through two and a half sessions for sure.
Fletch.
Yeah,
his daughter plays. Yeah, I love it. His daughter's name's Kaylee, and she plays piano at the Comedy Store. So I saw her the other night, and I just happened to ask her, like, "Look, I'm from Maryland, Chevy Chase, Maryland. Like, what the hell is the deal?" And I guess it was a real person from history that his mom named him after. And when you guys with this, I was like, doctors. I was like, I love Fletch. I know he had a doctor in there, and it's Dr. Rosenpenis.
So his real birth name is Chevy Chase. That's his real name. Oh, okay. I always wondered that too.
Well, and then you see like Chevy Chase in Glendale, Chevy Chase Boulevard or whatever, and you're like, they named that after Chevy Chase? Because I didn't know.
I asked.
Yeah.
Well, because we got Bob Hope Airport, you know what I mean? There's like the Avenue of the Stars. You're like, it's not too.
He's number two.
You could have seen Glendale getting over their skis doing blow with Chevy Chase one night, the mayor of Glendale, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to fucking name a street after you, man, because you're a fucking legend. You're a fucking legend.
My friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Just doing lines off a white BMW hood, man. Come on.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That is not the one that I was thinking that I couldn't say with a straight face, though. Okay. So
I was worried.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the Fletch?
I did.
Not remake, but I guess like kind of the John Hamm Fletch.
It came out recently, right? No, I didn't Fletch. See it.
Yep.
It's good. He's doing it. Doing it justice is because it's one of the all time great roles, you know, but like it's funny. It's worth watching.
Okay.
He's good. Excellent pick. Dr. Rosenpenis off the board.
Not going to have any weight on me with all these treadmill joints I'm going to be watching.
Absolutely.
Skinny as shit, Playboy.
You're going to love it. Your boy, John Hamm. And now it's time for your
guy.
Boy,
I got a photo.
David Boris, first pick.
I'm taking Dr. Benjamin Franklin Pierce. I'm taking Hawkeye from MASH.
Oh, yeah.
Had that down. That's a great one.
He was the coolest guy. And then, like, he showed he cared when you really needed it. You know what I mean? He was always the voice of reason. But then he was like, man, he was in that war, bro. I used to watch MASH a lot on the before school. And then when I started skipping school during school, Hawkeye, big influence on my sensibilities. Love him. Love Alan Alda. Hawkeye from MASH.
Sassy, but sweet.
He was the only MASH guy I even thought about taking, too, is the funny thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he was the one.
Yeah, dude, I didn't give MASH enough of a chance when I was a kid. So I used to watch it on Nick at Night when I was like 6 or 7. I didn't understand how buck it was, like the situation.
You're right.
And then in my like probably in my 30s, I rewatched the whole shit and I was like, oh damn. It's
real.
I mean,
you think
serious.
About like Klinger, that's a man apart.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? That's like there's just like a lot. They're in a war, you know? I don't think Hawkeye wasn't or Alan Alda wasn't Pierce in the movie though. It was Donald Sutherland.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, in the movie, yeah. It's crazy. That's a Robert Altman movie, man. Ring Lardner wrote it. That's crazy. And then they made like a TV, you know, big, flashy movie. And then all of a sudden they make a TV show on it. And it's even bigger.
Yeah.
The finale.
I found myself like walking around randomly humming that goddamn song.
Yeah. Right? It's so good.
You ever heard the lyrics? Well, yeah. I guess it's. What's the one that I'm thinking of? Like, suicide is painless. Fucking gnarly. I remember that because I didn't know that. I was like, it's kind of a catchy little joint. And then you hear the lyrics, you're like, oh. It's a little different.
Finale of MASH, 106 million people watched it.
That is insane.
60% of American households. Can you believe that shit?
what do we get? Like 105 million downloads on
it's
this?
105, but now it's, but yes, we do, but it's later. It's, you know what I mean? It's a few years later.
Years. And no one's dying outside right now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's the Korean War, right?
Yeah. Ash?
No, it's great. Vietnam.
Oh, it's Vietnam? Vietnam?
I always thought it was Vietnam.
Oh, okay. It's Vietnam. That's my
bad. Maybe it was on long enough that it went into Korea.
God, they doubled down.
And we don't need to dive into what dates those happen because I definitely know. So there's no reason to, like, you know, see how long that was. I know for sure.
Oh, the movie at least is South Korea. Either way, a conflict you don't want to be involved in.
Yeah, dude.
Except on a Tuesday morning before school as a
9-year-old
kid. Yeah,
you're just getting ready if you got a big test.
That was a good time.
Return for the day at school with
yeah.
Matt.
Yeah. I mean, how else do you get through two-a-days? You got
to
fucking...
I'm trying to find my hot lips.
Yeah. Ooh, hot lips. Isaac is
confirming the Korean War.
Is indeed the Korean War.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And Isaac is Korean, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, Sean.
Yeah, I'm out here.
I saw him go through his own Korean War. He calls it the war, his own
it
Korean
is
war.
War.
This last weekend, it was a conflict in a bag of Jack in the Box tacos.
In the morning, I don't want to air you out, but
please,
yeah.
Please, by all means,
the
go
next
ahead.
Day, Isaac gets up. We all had a B&B in Phoenix this weekend because we were doing shows at the Shout Out Desert Ridge Improv. But Isaac gets up and he eats an egg roll from Jack in the Box. The next morning, he's like, he goes, "You gonna eat this?" And I'm like, "Not." Maybe 10 years ago, but not right now.
I'm 29 years old. My digestive system can handle it.
Prime of his life.
Yeah, you handle it.
I would have been a mess.
Here's hot is the right word, a room temperature take. But I think a next day egg roll from Jack in the Box or a taco only gets better.
They're fine.
Only gets better.
I don't know. I can't go with you there, brother.
Because the flavor seeps in more.
I'll tell you, it gets
better.
It ain't
getting worse, that's for sure.
No.
None of it molds. None of it does anything.
No way. You could leave it under a heat lamp for years and it would be the
same.
I would
beg to argue that if food doesn't mold, it's probably okay to eat. You know what I mean? Like, we should be eating shit that doesn't get bad.
Yeah.
I leave pizza on the counter and my wife will... Like the next day, I'll go to take a bite and she's like, "You can't do that." And I go, "If I know one thing, it's that you can eat pizza the next day on the counter. I've been doing it for at least 30 years, minimum."
Next day pizza is one of our true pleasures as a species.
She's talking about the bacteria. I'm like, maybe, but it's been
what?
All right.
Who do you ever know who got sick off of next day pizza one time?
No one.
Not a
Never
person.
One time ever.
You know who you'd go see if you got sick off a next day pizza, though, if I may.
Oh, look at this. Well, wrap it
I
in.
Don't believe it's your pick yet. I believe it's mine. You got the hot corner, my friend, David.
That's right.
Shisa. Sorry, I forgot.
Shisa.
Go on.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to take the doctor of my childhood, somebody who's brought me more laughs than I think anyone else I'm going to get in this draft. I'm taking Dr. Nick from The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I saw him on there. Yeah.
I was a Simpsons kid in a big way, shaped my sense of humor like massively. And Dr. Nick was one of the funniest characters on there. Had a catchphrase. "Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Nick," you know. So you knew it was Dr. Nick when he showed up.
Yeah, dude. We moved into my stepdad's house. I got the attic for the room and he had to clear all his stepdad stuff out of there. Like the stepdad stuff before your stepdad. And so he
Bud
just
Light signs,
all the Playboys stacks as high as I was of Playboys, all that stuff. And VHS of The Simpsons and a TV. That was all I had up there. So that was when I watched the whole shit when I was like a seventh grader.
He's just so fucking funny. Like as a doctor who got his degree in a strip mall. He's the doctor when Homer wants to like lose weight, you know what I mean? To get on disability. Like Dr. Nick is the doctor who supervises him on the process, you know? Like, instead of making sandwiches with bread, use Pop-Tarts. Instead of chewing gum, chew bacon. He's just fucking... I don't know, man. I just love it. He's looking at a woman who's pregnant.
I had a couple of those doctors last year.
Yeah. You run into those
doctors,
man.
Yeah, you had a rough
man.
Go last year, right?
I think that a few of those guys were in my unit.
Yikes. What happened?
I would have took a Hawkeye, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, Hawkeye would have got you straightened out real quick.
Sickler, what happened? You were dealing with some bad doctors?
Yeah, it's a long story, but the short version is I went in for a back surgery and then there was a complication, so they had me come back in. They sew me back up And they tell me, now you need to lay here. And I tell them that I have this blood disease that if I lay still for a long period of time, I'll clot and die, because it's happened to me before where I almost died. Don't let me clot and die. And I laid there for a week, and then my fucking lungs fully clotted, pushed on my heart. My heart swelled up and I collapsed in the hospital. And
God damn.
I'm lucky to be alive.
We're lucky. We're lucky to have you. That's fucking nuts, man.
I spent almost the whole month of January last year in Cedar Sinai, which I've now called Cedar Sayonara. Fuck that up.
January is the month to miss, though. I mean, if we're going to be honest, you know,
it was all rainy shit. It was a good month. Yeah. It was a good month. And my insurance just started, so it was a good month to have all that go down.
Knock out the deductible in the first three days of the month. What a
fuck. Now you can get that calf surgery you want to, and it'll just be covered, baby. You got all the pockets done.
Get some boulders put in. Dr. Nick is my first pick. Sean Jordan.
I mean, Dr. Meredith, great. Grey's Anatomy.
Sure.
I don't know if any, I know I'm the heaviest Grey's Anatomy regular on this show. Sickler, I don't know if you ever dipped your feet in the bathtub?
Yeah, I dabbled.
When COVID hit, I was like, I've been wanting to watch this show for a decade at least. And then I was like, I'm going to watch. So we watched the whole series in a year. All of it. We're caught up. The whole thing. Because we were going through IVF and, you know, you couldn't do anything. So it's like we just sat there and watched Grey's Anatomy. It was fantastic.
What's her whole thing? You know?
Her lineage, she comes from this amazing doctor. Her doctor or her mom, God darn it, I can't remember her name, but whatever. Her mom's like this famous doctor. And what's fascinating about this show is there's famous surgeons. I couldn't name you a real doctor. Like Dr. Kevorkian's about the only one I could name. But they're like
famous
know
to
who
the
Meredith
world
Gray is.
Or like amongst doctors?
To the country for sure. And it goes international. Wow. They go to Japan and stuff.
Well, but there's like Ben Carson, right? You know, you had like gifted hands like that. Like, I guess he would be a famous
doctor. I don't
know
who that is. But okay. So she'd be like eating at a restaurant or something and be like, that's Meredith Grey over there. And it's like, but anyway, so she's just like a famous doctor who changes the whole game. And it's just the best. I love the show. I like medical dramas. I like romantic comedies. I like all that shit. I like lighthearted stuff. I like all the drama stuff. They just pack it all in. That's why it's been on the show or on the air for 18 years or some shit.
I can't watch that stuff because I watch it. I'm like, I'm going to get that. Whatever that person has, I'm going to get that. Even if it's like tree trunk through torso disease, I'm like, I'm catching that for sure.
or I think I have that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
So I got those symptoms.
Yeah, she was itchy. She was
I don't
tired.
Know, man. There was one time these two people came in impaled with the same telephone pole. And I'm like, okay, they make it pretty outlandish on Grey's, where you're like, all right, I ain't getting that.
Do they fall in love? Because what a great way to meet someone.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean the two impaled by a telephone pole.
Oh, no, they have to choose. The old guy, one of them has to die, and the old guy hops on the grenade for her. So.
Oh, damn.
It'll get you there, baby. You'll cry. And then on the turnaround here, I'm going to go make it a little more lighthearted. I'm going to say Dr. Evil.
Oh, damn it.
That's fun.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Best. Just perfect.
For
absolutely
sure on
perfect.
My list.
Yeah, he was. I figured he was on some list, so I wanted to get him in there early. So
one of
he
the
didn't.
First impressions that everybody I know did.
Oh, powerful!
In, everybody had a doctor at a Dr. Evil.
His long
Halloween costume for God. Yeah. That's, you know, you hit the zeitgeist
for real.
Pressing
for
up real. As he was Halloween and doing it everywhere until people want to punch you in the face.
I didn't realize how accurate it was. I don't want to like step on other picks, but like if you go into the universe that's drawn from, it's pretty close to what I don't know, like Dr. Evil. You know what I'm saying without saying it, but it's like pretty accurate to the other movies, I'll say.
From the Bond movie it might be pulling from. That's what you're saying? Yeah, yeah. And pretty accurate to Lorne Michaels, right? We've based the impression on.
Yeah, dude.
That dude had multiple. When those movies were coming out, catchphrases were like the main way people communicated with each other. Are kids still doing that? Are they like Fortnite? I guess Fortnite dances are their new, like, how about no? Remember that one? He had B-sides going platinum, Dr.
How about
Evil.
No was huge.
Yeah. His whole thing when he's talking about that the details of my life are quite inconsequential.
Uh-huh.
And then it just rattles off the most insane thing you've ever heard.
Ritualistically shaved my testicles.
goes.
A relentlessly self-improving boulangerie owner from Belgium.
Who claimed he invented the question mark.
Question mark. You made a good point earlier, Sean. Like 60% of the country watch MASH. Yeah. I believe with everything going on today, with all the options from YouTube and Netflix and Amazon, you name it, that if MASH was out today, I don't think 60% of the country would watch that finale. So going back, like if you remember old SNL, people don't even watch SNL these days. Young kids, some of them don't even know what the hell it is. But if you go back when you had the Dana Carveys and the Mike Myers, the character, they would make a moot church lady. Even the dancing bobblehead guys got a moot. You know what I mean? That character doesn't get its own scene anymore. Now that character wheels on to the news and they do character on the news and
that's
a chick.
True.
But in the uncle or the whoever it is, and then they slide off. It's changed so much. That character's no longer celebrated like that. You know, true. Eddie Murphy with Mr. Robinson's Neighbor, and you couldn't wait to see another one of those, you know?
Like, maybe Bill Hader never wanted to make a Stefan movie, but it's crazy that they never made a Stefan movie because that would have been like three movies if that came out in the 90s. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil. All right, time for my second pick. I'm going to literature, baby. I'm taking Dr. Victor Frankenstein.
Oh, yep. Doc Frank. I got him on speed.
You talk about him so often that like you actually do save months of your life by shortening it to Doc Frank.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I need to know what to pair with the steak when I'm out. So I just call Doc Frank and he lets me know what's going to be best for my heart when I'm out there.
A man who has been eclipsed by his own creation. You know, he's out here running this whole he's actually Frankenstein's monster campaign. Commenting on, you know what I mean, on like YouTube clips and Twitter and everything.
Like a Del Curry situation.
Yeah. I'm Frankenstein. He's my monster. It's like, all right, buddy, sorry. But he did create it. He brought life to a corpse, an amalgamation of things sewn together. And in the book, he makes a monster who's brilliant.
That's the thing.
In the movies, we get this lumbering oaf. And in the book, he's like, brilliant, a genius, athletic, like even scary is not the right way. And then just doesn't know how to control himself and accidentally drown somebody. But
it is Del Curry.
It's Del Curry.
Tall, handsome, charismatic.
We don't know what's going to happen with Steph yet.
And then Dr. Frankenstein gets a divorce, you know what I mean? Against all better advice.
And his monster becomes the greatest three-point shooter of all time.
Yeah, dude, it's out
And then
there.
He makes a second monster who's pretty good, you know?
Pretty good. You know, it's cool. He has a headband.
Contributes. Went to Duke. Yeah. Like many monsters.
Played in Portland for a while.
Played in Portland for a minute. Philly. Dr. Frankenstein. Yeah, he's my pick. It's a great book. He's good in any medium. He's been in books, movies, TV shows, you know? The Monster Mash, dude. Anywhere you need him, Frankenstein can show up.
Dude, Monster Squad? He's like the redeeming character in the movie Monster Squad. I don't know if you guys remember that, but they got like Wolfman, Merman, Dracula. Frankenstein's the one that saves the day.
Well, you're talking about Frankenstein.
Frankenstein's monster.
Kind of got his own cereal with Frankenberry.
He's got Frankenberry. And again, guys, this is the monster you're talking about. What I'm trying to do right now is highlight the doctor.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, we've all read the book, so we get it.
We get you.
I read the book. I can't put books down. You know how it goes.
I just want to shine a light on the doctor, Dr. Frankenstein's publicist. That's great. Yeah, the monster. No, that's cool that the monster's up to all that stuff. Again, the doctor does have a new project.
Yeah, but this is the doctor that we're talking about. He's the one here.
Dr. Frankenstein has invented a dog that can talk, but only insults you. So, you know, that's pretty impressive. David, time for your second pick.
My second pick, I'm going to have to go with, Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
What? Hell yeah, dude.
Do I know what he was a doctor of? No.
No.
I mean.
Do I love him just the same? Yeah. Do I question his strange relationship with his neighbor, 15-year-old boy, Marty McFly? Whatever. It was a different time.
It was a different time.
He's fun. The hair is crazy. Kick it to 88, man. Doc Brown all day. I loved it when he went back in time and he fell in love with that woman in the Old West. Yeah. He doesn't worry about distorting the timelines of the world. He just wants happiness, man. Doc Brown.
Christopher Lloyd is a testament to the power of being old young. Because he looked old young and then has looked that same way up until now.
Yeah,
even
it's
in
smart.
Taxi, he looked old and weathered.
He looks old in Taxi for sure. Yeah. He looks almost rougher in Taxi than he did in Back to the Future.
Yeah, he looked better. He just had white hair. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a denim guy, I think, is what the issue is.
Yeah.
Get that guy out of Jean.
Then you're looking up like, yeah, he's got to be dead by now, right? And you look him up and it's like, he's 68.
Yeah.
One of my first places I lived here in L.A., he was right off of Melrose. He lived in a house across the street and he had a stalker, this lady that would just sit on his front yard and shit. And they would always have to call the cops and she would not leave the poor dude alone. I just remember that's how I knew where he lived because they wouldn't know.
Imagine of all the people you could pick to stop.
Right.
You saw Back to the Future and you were like, that's my guy.
Yeah.
Move over Marty McFly and all the other, not Leah Thompson, not Michael J. Fox, not Crispin Glover. She was like Christopher Lloyd.
I'm going to get my Fox capacitor on.
Yeah.
This is a woman who sets realistic goals for herself. She's like, that's something I can accomplish.
I almost said good for her. That's maybe not how I feel, but
no, but
complicated, you know?
The spirits, right?
Yeah.
Doc Brown, man. Good pick.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. A huge one for me, you know, just people pleasing. And it's, you say it like it's a bad thing. It's just something that you need to get under control. All of these stressors, you know, you keep them bottled up. It starts to affect you negatively. Everybody. You don't have to feel weird if this stuff affects you. It affects everybody. And there's people, again, myself included, who walk around trying to front like it doesn't, but it does. It always does. It always has. And therapy is a safe place to just get things off your chest. You need to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, all those problems. Even if you just want to vent or kvetch about somebody, go to therapy. Get them new ears on it. You know what I'm talking about? Get it somebody, who are they going to leak it to? They're not going to tell your homies. Go let them know. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries, how to do all those things that make you be a better you. As hokey as that sounds, that is what we are all going for. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. All right? Give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's convenient, flexible, and it's also suited to your schedule. All right. You just fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist. You switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the cut of your therapist's jib, as it were, go on and switch. BetterHelp has got your back. They want it to work just like you do. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/allfantasy today to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/allfantasy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sickler, time for your second and third picks, as it is a serpentine draft.
All right, man. I grew up as a kid, unfortunately, drinking a lot of soda, so I'm going to go with Dr. Pepper.
Yo,
there you go.
Yeah. Had to happen.
I'm going to go with Dr. Pepper. Now, I wasn't a big Dr. Pepper drinker. I was usually in the Coke family, Coke, Sprite, that sort of stuff. But if there was a Dr. Pepper around, and I'll say this too as an adult, Diet Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah.
It's the closest tasting to the real thing of any diet soda out there I've ever ingested. And we also had birch beer. Did you guys ever have a birch beer growing up?
No. I've seen it. I never had it before.
Yeah.
It got a little more of a bite than root beer. It's like a reddish color like Dr. Pepper. So I'm going to give Dr. Pepper, because it also, in the soda world, it's its own thing out there. There's Sprite and Slice and all. There's no imitation Dr. Pepper. There's just one only.
Pib tried to pull up on it, Mr. Pib, and it's Pib, like, get out of here with
get
that.
Get out of here, bro.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like a horse with three legs. Get the fuck out of here.
It is. I used to drink it all the time, and it started giving me the scoots. I wish Diet Dr. Pepper gave me diet diarrhea. I'll tell you that. Then maybe I could handle it. But
wait, Dr. Pepper to give you this shit?
Yeah. I figured it out when I was probably 15. and then I kept going for like 17. I don't know, but nothing else. But it would do it that and baked Lays. They just immediately, it's like somebody.
Baked Lays and Olestra in them. They give you anal discharge too.
Well, yeah, I used to dump Olestra in my Dr. Pepper. You guys didn't do that?
You rich.
I mean, it gets that birch beer bite when you
do called that. It a code red, right? It was like summoning the doctor. Code blue. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of public restrooms in South Dakota. So I was good. But
connected to that, it giving you the scoots thing. I remember back in the day, people used to say, you know, it's like a prune flavored soda.
Yeah.
Like that was supposed to scare me off of it, but that just made me love it more for being unique.
Yeah, it's unique for sure.
I still love it. I mean, I'll still handle it, but you know,
you just don't leave that.
It's
house.
Like ice cream. I gotta be home.
Yeah,
so it's a Texas original, Waco, Texas.
That sounds right.
Yeah, how about it?
Was there a Dr.
Pepper? 23 flavors or something weird? What is it?
23 flavors. Yeah.
Yep. David Koresh just pounded Dr. Pepper.
They speculate that there may have been a Dr. Pepper, a Charles T. Pepper of Rural Retreat, Virginia, who we named the soda
Pepper?
After.
Chucky Pepper.
Chucky Peps in Rural Retreat, dude.
Chucky, baby.
Yeah, hell yeah.
All right. I'm torn on my next two because there's bit of an obvious one here, but also then there's another one, a TV doctor. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to give it to TV doctor Doogie House.
Oh, yo, man.
Absolutely.
Come on.
I'm about to go with the child doc.
NPH. Love that guy. Love that guy.
Here's the thing.
Him and his computer journal.
I was working one day as a PA in LA.
Give it to me.
And I'm driving right by Universal Studios. And I'm with a writer producer that I'm taking to another facility, but she knew I did comedy. She was totally cool with me. She knew my sense of humor. And we pull up next of all people, Neil Patrick Harris. And I'm like, oh my God, it's fucking Doogie Howser over there. And I roll the window down. I'm like, Doogie. And he looks up and I'm like, I think I got this thing on my nuts. Would you take a look at it? He drove the fuck off.
I love it.
I'm going to give it to Neil Patrick Harris on Dr. Doogie House. Child doctor, bro. Child doctor.
Yeah, the last sentence journal.
He didn't laugh. He didn't give me the finger. He didn't say, go fuck yourself. He just drove.
No, sold you completely. I think that's breaking the Hippocratic Oath right there, man.
It might be.
Yeah, he's got to help.
I loved that show.
Yeah. Dude, it was
I loved the song. I loved his friend. Who was his friend? Vinny. Oh, what was his friend's name? The neighbor.
He's the kid that's in Sopranos.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that show. I remember that episode where, do you remember he was going to lose his virginity and he bought like a box of condoms. He stole a box of condoms from the hospital. And I remember even as a kid thinking like, that's too many condoms. From,
It's going to fall off if he does it all those times.
Vinny Delpino. Is your boy.
He was great.
He couldn't have got a Jimmy from Vinny Delpino. He didn't have a few sitting around.
Vinny Delpino does not wear a Jimmy, dude.
They were like 12.
Yeah, that's the other part.
He just has sex and sprays a little cologne on it, and he's like, it's good.
Only went four seasons, but I guess at that point, you know, MPH is getting a little older.
They reran the shit out of it, though. Yeah. Because I don't think I watched it live. I was too little.
Those shows would go four seasons, but back then that was like 160 episodes. You know?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And they felt like, you look at that, some of those shows, two seasons, you're like, I thought that was on for a decade. Because like when you're a kid, it just seems like it. Anyway.
Gilligan's Island is the wildest one. That was like two seasons.
And no.
Yes. And then ran forever. Yeah. Two seasons.
Dude, I thought that was on for 20 years.
Same.
It was in syndication, but it was only on, they only produced two seasons.
How many
Gilligan's
episodes
Island.
In the two seasons?
Let me look. It was a lot.
probably full like 24 season episodes, right? Like I'm sure they were getting picked up.
I just rewatched all the Sopranos, and even the final season is 21, 22 episodes. And I'm like, these shows now are 8, 9 tops. Like what? Gilligan's Island ran for two. How many?
Pardon me. Three seasons. My bad. Yeah. Still. But they did 36, 32, and 30 episode orders.
Oh, that's fuck, dude. Yeah.
That's not even 100 episodes.
No.
That's insane. Wow.
Syndication forever. Yeah, that Gilligan's was one of those. I was like, it was on for, it was basically a soap opera, is what I assumed.
But yeah. No.
Doogie Howser, David, time for your third pick.
This one is another one near and dear to my heart. Like I said, I skipped most of fifth grade and I was afraid of truant officers, so I would stay inside until like 2 o'clock when then I'd start coming outside. And this was when the TV channel PAX was going on. I don't know if you guys remember PAX. So I'm taking Dr. Michaela Quinn, medicine woman.
Yeah,
Jane Seymour.
Forgot about her.
Come on. Boston bred, moved to the Colorado Territories for medicine, had a wolf dog. Great time.
Jane Seymour just looking beautiful, looking like a Ralph Lauren ad.
What a babe.
Dude, all the way into Wedding Crashers. I mean, it's shocking.
Right, she is in Wedding Crashers, yeah.
And then that guy Sully, who was like a Dances with Wolves situation where he wasn't Native American, but he had a lot of beads.
Yeah.
But I think it was like a white guy. It was the 90s, you know. And it was a Colorado show. Yeah, I just watched a shitload of it.
Lot of fringe leather in that show too.
Oh come on, she dressed like a fucking Taos housewife.
Yeah, she did.
You know what I mean?
Dude, everyone, like every rich lady in Austin dresses like Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman today.
Yeah, also in Phoenix where we just were.
Yeah, exactly.
There were tassels everywhere in Phoenix. When we were in Scottsdale, it's Tassel City.
No, if there's turquoise, fringe tassel is not far behind.
No, you can, even if it's like finding tracks.
Yeah.
A white woman crashed here. You taste the dirt. Yeah, Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, man.
That's a great pick. Time for my third pick. We were just talking about The Sopranos, so I'm going to bounce right back to it. I'm taking Dr. Melfi.
Nice.
Yeah, Dr. Melfi. Nice. Yeah.
Never seen the it's a crazy thing. I've never seen it. I feel like
you've never
moron.
Seen The Sopranos.
I know.
Just watch it.
I know.
Watch it.
It's daunting. If we need another pandemic, dude, I'd already
watched
Grey's Anatomy.
Every episode of Grey's Anatomy.
I know, but shut up.
Bro, it's like 20 seasons or
something. Laugh out loud funny. There are so many funny moments in it.
Very funny.
You, it's not just a mob thing. It's so fucking funny.
I would say that it is like The Sopranos, which won Emmys for drama, is funnier than, and I like The Bear, but it's funnier than The Bear, which is currently winning Emmys for comedy.
Agreed.
For sure. For sure.
I'll watch it. Yeah.
Dude, it's funny. Like, dude. It seems daunting, but like once you're like three episodes in, you're like, thank God there's so much left to go. It is.
And then you also, there's really good characters that come in later and shit too, where you're like, oh, hell yeah, we got a new one. Good. Not just some chump, you know.
Yeah, dude, like Joe Pantoliano just shows up.
Come on.
You know what I mean? Like
going
in season
crazy.
2 or 3 or whatever.
Yep.
Going crazy.
One of your doctor ladies, Juliana Margulies, shows up on there.
Come on.
That's right.
Yep. Buscemi's on there. It's good. Yeah.
You're going to love it. And Dr. Melfi's there the whole time. Lorraine Bracco plays his therapist. I won't say too much because I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't watched it yet. But I will just encourage
5 years ago
everyone to watch it.
It's just me. You're being cool about that.
Just
I appreciate
it. Well, she's throwing heaters, man. She's fantastic. You wouldn't think she could do a role more iconic than her one in Goodfellas. And then
you're right.
Comes out and does Dr. Melfi. She's just great, man. She's beautiful. She's brilliant. She like challenges him. She's like the true counterpoint to Tony Soprano in the show.
Is she a foil?
Yeah, I would say she's the foil. Yeah. The show doesn't work without her. She's fantastic. Sean, time for your third pick, not plucked from the Sopranos universe.
All right. Well, I'm going to, I could get this later, but I just want to talk about it. It's, if you remember that Will Ferrell sketch from SNL where it's Molly Shannon, Chris Parnell, Will Ferrell's playing a doctor. Do you remember, does anyone know what sketch we're talking about? Mm-hmm. They lose Chris Parnell's baby. Like he misplaces the baby. Anyway, So Tim Meadows comes in and Will Ferrell's like, we have this expert here to talk about it. And Tim Meadows comes in. He goes, hi, I'm Dr. Stephen Poop. And then he goes, I can't do it. He goes, I don't know anything about your kid, but I can do the robot. And he does it. And he's like, that'll be $5,000. And he leaves. I call
that guy too.
Dude, it's my favorite. I cannot say it without laughing. He just comes in and he keeps a straight face and it's always because I'm like, I just don't know how you said I'm Dr. Stephen Poop and you didn't. Oh, blows my mind. But anyway, it's I love it so much.
Dr. Poop.
Dr. Poop.
Yeah, dude.
I'm about to watch on YouTube. I've never seen that.
Oh my God. It goes on a little too long as the sketch is kind of used to, but peak Will Ferrell. You can tell it's where Anchorman, like he was brewing up Anchorman shit. But anyway, yeah, it's Tim Meadows, Dr. Stephen Poop. And yeah, watch it if you haven't seen it.
Fantastic. A morsel. Oh, yeah. And your fourth pick?
I think I can get that one last. I'm going to go into Scrubs.
Okay.
I got to do it. Going into Scrubs. And I'm doing John C. McGinley's character, Dr. Perry Cox. If you haven't seen Scrubs, it's like people are torn completely. Some, if you don't like it, you hate it. I get it. I'm not here to cape for Scrubs. John C. McGinley is one of the best actors.
Cape for it. You love it.
I do love it. But I mean, I'm talking about John C. McGinley. He's one of the best actors in everything he's in. And Scrubs, one of the reasons I like it so much is because Bill Lawrence, his roommate in college, is who Zach Braff's character is based on. So all the stories are true. And his old roommate, he's like, you can use my life for free. You just can't make us look bad. You have to make doctors look good. You have to actually tell what we really do. And I feel like Dr. Cox in that show is like a shining example of a dickhead, but deep down, like an amazing person, wants to help, wants to heal, but also very tormented, crazy alcoholic, hates himself, narcissist, all those things. But he's so good. He's so good in emotions. I don't know. Just John C. McGinley in general, but Dr. Cox.
I'm at the point now where I think I need to run that back.
Scrubs. I mean, you hated it the most.
I think Funches hated it the most.
Well, that's because he's got Bill beef, but
he was on a show. Well, anyway, yeah.
But, who knows? But you'd walk into the crib and change it.
He hated it. He hated it and then started working with Bill Lawrence.
Okay.
And then I think,
yeah, it's good. It's wacky if you don't like the slapsticky stuff, but there's enough serious stuff in there to make it great.
Saw Zach Braff at the airport.
Yeah.
Dr. Perry Cox.
Dr. Perry Cox, Playboy.
Time for my fourth pick. And, oh, man. Okay. I'm going to go back to the cartoon world, and I'm taking Dr. Zoidberg from the TV show Futurama.
Yeah, nice. Absolutely.
Forgot about that.
Like an old Catskills comedian character who also has an octopus head. Dr. Zoidberg is fantastic. He's one of the more Jewish-coded cartoons that we've had out there. And not just like, again, like crazy, like Catskills level. Just hilarious. Why not Zoidberg? I love that dude. I love Futurama. Makes me laugh every single time I watch it.
Yeah. He's fantastic. I feel you, man. It's, where is it at in your cartoons?
Futurama?
Yeah.
God, we might have to draft that so I can figure that out. It's definitely after The Simpsons, but
it's up there, though. It's good, man.
It's up there. It's top five for me, for sure.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Also, happy anniversary to Family Guy, a show that I think is a little bit of a punchline amongst cooler people, but then you think back and you're like, no, that show fucking is funny, man.
I watch them all. Okay. Still.
How long has Family Guy been on the air now?
Three seasons.
But for real, whatever that number is, Gilligan's Island feels like double that.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I mean, I think Family Guy is pushing like 20.
I think the 25th anniversary.
25, right?
Sopranos, too. Yeah.
Rips. And long episodes, like, or seasons, like 22 eps and shit.
The Simpsons has been on for 153 seasons at this point.
Yeah.
They just won another Emmy, man. It's fucking crazy.
They got Lifetime Achievement Award.
No.
I was kidding. That was a weak attempt at like it's a long show.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that too. Weak. But like, no, like a good job. You made the best show this year.
Isaac, cut that out and put a good joke there. That'd be tight. Thank you.
But a good joke.
Some from Chris Rock. So Dr. Zoidberg. David, time for your fourth pick.
I mean, I do a joke where she's the punchline. I got a reference her from Days of Our Lives. I'm taking Dr. Marlena Evans, man.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys weren't, you had to be a you had to have parents who watch soap operas or whatever. Her shit was crazy. She got possessed by the devil. She was locked on the island for some time. Her kid Sammy Brady is crazy with Roman Brady. She was with John Black. Just covered a lot of ground. Still on the show. Still doing it. Same actress since like 76 or some shit.
Oh, she has what the Gen Z kids would call a cunty little haircut.
Are you just using terms you've heard on TikTok?
Yeah.
You want to talk about some episode game? Those shows are at like 15 racks. That shit's crazy. It's like 15,000 episodes.
Oh, every day. They produce them like the news, man.
Every day, yeah.
So when I was a kid, we watched Knott's Landing. That was what my mom made me watch. And that was like.
Are you kidding me?
No, we watch it every single night.
Hold on 1 second. Keep going.
I'll just really quick say, we were on the same lot as, I think, Days of Our Lives and one other one. And you could go down and watch them work. And they're just like a factory, dude. They're like banging out episodes.
Did you ever watch any of them? We watched Days of Our Lives and All My Children. And it was like, it's just, if you're following them, you understand. It's crazy.
Like one
it's
take.
It's so fucking, and just the plot lines. Because they have to keep going over years and years and years. You know what I mean? So people get kidnapped. People aren't. Hey,
do you want to talk about who I had a crush on when I was a kid?
Sickler is holding up a sequined pillow.
Those disappearing Knott's
Land.
Dude, I used to think Donna you didn't Mills, get more attractive.
Yeah. Joan Van Ark. Hey, I forget. Michelle, maybe something or other. Dude, this show. Can't believe you touched on this. No pun intended.
We used to sit. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's the reason I learned how to program a VCR. I would go back later and just jerk fest the goddamn Knott's Landing. Oh, God. Nicholas Sheridan was on there.
Oh, dude.
Younger. I mean, there was that lineup was stupid. But it was nighttime. So
it was nighttime. Talent. That's why we could watch it.
Knott's Landing and Falcon Crest and all these shows. You don't see nighttime soaps really anymore.
Yep. That's the only reason, because my mom, whatever, it would be the time when we'd be hanging out. And I was so young, she'd be like, you don't care what we're just going to watch Knott's Landing. And it was one of those where I was young enough, but I was like, I like whatever sexually is, I like this. Same thing, and I said it before with Tina Turner and the What's Love Got to Do With It video, where I was so young, but I'm like, this is what I'm into. I know that. So, Knott's Landing informed some stuff.
David, when you do the Dr. Marlena Shaw joke, it's so funny the way the audience laughs, because it's like it's as loud as when you do a joke that kills the whole room, but it's coming from 15 people.
I think that joke is really good, but that part specifically is like, that's where it's for the real heads, because people go crazy. As soon as I say it, people go ape shit.
They're being like, who stand up? You know what I mean? It's like one of those.
It's a fun one.
Excellent pick. Sickler, time for your fourth pick, and then we'll do a lightning round for the final ones.
All right, I'm going to go with one that no one has said, and I think it's just necessary, especially these days. Well, I'm going to go with Dr. Love.
Malachi Love?
Wait. No, just Dr. Love, you know?
From the song. Okay.
Song, but anything.
Right, I got you.
People say you need to call Dr. Love, man. Get his or her ass over here.
I like
the wide pick. I'm over. You got my gears turning over here.
Yeah.
I like
wide open. The one Kiss was singing about, kind of the way that like Jews, Muslims, and Christians all believe in the same God kind of thing. Yeah. It's like Dr. Love can be anybody. It doesn't matter who's talking about
That's who we should all be following. Dr. Love.
Would be nice. Dr. Love's just kind of a presence, sort of an entity.
Yes.
Went to Purdue, though. But Jade. Still went to Purdue. Still is a Boilermaker. Also, by the way.
Fantastic.
Ally.
And Sickler, your final quote or your final pick.
Well, I wasn't sure if Doc Holliday was a real doctor, so I went with Dr. Jekyll.
Oh, yeah.
Doc Holliday was a dentist, and I don't think a dentist. Was he a doctor?
Yes.
Listen,
he was? Okay. All right. He was a dentist.
Dentists,
I'm glad somebody
doctors.
Brought him up, though. I bring up Tombstone every chance I get. It's the best movie ever made. So, picked Dr. Jekyll, but
Dr. Jekyll, dude, a man who could not control his darker side.
Yeah.
Mr. Hyde. David, time for your final pick. Lightning round style.
Okay, I'm going from 30 Rock. I'm taking Dr. Leo Spaceman.
Oh, fuck yeah. Fantastic. Come on.
Just
that's
so
a
many good,
good doctor name.
Quote after quote after quote. Try to give people animal blood. Great. Dr. Leo Spaceman.
I'm going to go back to the book universe, although movies and TV as well. I've been reading Sherlock Holmes books a bunch recently. They're fantastic. Just nice little, like, tuck yourself into bed with one of those. I'm taking Dr. Watson, his faithful assistant.
That's nice. Great.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sean, your final pick.
Speaking of the literary world, you probably didn't think I was going to go to the literary world, as I don't really read a lot. But, and this doctor wasn't mentioned in the book, but I'm sure he had a heavy presence in the book. But I read Motley Crue's The Dirt once upon a time. And Dr. Feelgood is gotta be. I think they probably omitted everything he did in the book because it wasn't legal. But yeah. He helped. Or they. You know, they don't really say, they don't really gender Dr. Feelgood. So
no. Well, yeah. You couldn't.
Yeah. But I mean, Mick needed medication every single day. So who do you think was giving it
Mick
to him?
Dr. Feelgood. Real doctors on several occasions.
I think he probably got Dr. Feelgood a lot.
I saw him in like 2002 at the Forum, and he looked like he was going to die then. I can't believe he lasted all this time.
It's wild, man.
His knees were bowed in. Like, it was looked painful.
Yeah. He was in pain every second of the day, and he had like a degenerative spinal disease. I mean, yeah. And the it'd be wild to be surrounded by the rest of them just going absolutely batshit. And you're like, can we just chill for a minute?
He also just died from like cocaine one night, and they brought him back, right? Like, so in addition to his regular shit, he had the Motley Crue disease
was
as well.
Sick, I think that
Dickie
was Dickie
Six. Oh, died. Was that Dickie Six? Oh, okay.
He died from heroin.
But they brought
the
him
hospital.
Back.
They brought him
they
back.
They did bring him back.
Then they found him passed out, half in his bathroom, half out his bathroom, with leather pants on, needle in his arm, 2 days after he left the hospital. And you're like,
almighty.
Man, this is why I went to school?
Yeah. I just saw a Dr. Feelgood video with Vince Neil currently, and he's just mumbling. He's like, I thought it was a joke. I thought someone was doing lip reading, and then I was like, oh my God, this is real.
When he's all out of breath, and he's just,
yeah. That's what he does.
Feel good. And they put subtitles. It's like bad lip reading where you're like, oh man, what a rough shake. But, I don't know if they were thinking about the future too much.
Well, listen, he's not Dr. Feelbad, so let's focus on the 80s here. Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah, I didn't draft Dr. Feelbad.
excellent final pick. Isaac, super producer Isaac, do you have a pick of your own for a fictional doctor?
I sure do. Dr. House MD.
Oh, yes.
I purposely didn't go with House because I thought everybody would have House.
Based on Sherlock Holmes, I probably watched more of that TV show more than any other TV show in the world because I watched it with my mom growing up. He's great. He's cynical. He has an addiction to the pills, and he knows how to diagnose
the products.
Things.
I mean, yeah, you don't trust a drug dealer that doesn't do the drugs, right? You gotta.
That what? No, that's not how I feel.
Well, excellent pick, Isaac. To recap, Ryan Sickler, you took Dr. Rosenpenis from Fletch, Dr. Pepper, Doogie Howser MD, Dr. Love, and Dr. Jekyll. David, you went second. You took Hawkeye from MASH, Doc Brown, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, Dr. Marlena Evans, and Dr. Leo Spaceman. I went third. I took Dr. Nick, Dr. Frankenstein, Dr. Melfi, Dr. Zoidberg, and Dr. Watson. Sean, you went last. You took Dr. Meredith Grey.
Yeah.
Dr. Evil, Dr. Stephen Poop, Dr. Perry Cox, and Dr. Feelgood. We left some good doctors on the board.
Every time. It is hilarious. Watch kinds. The sketch.
Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
Moonlight Graham.
So I was trying to find, so you know in 40-year-old, or in Anchorman, he says Dr. Kenneth Noisewater. I'm the one who's always been screaming those are people he grew up with. I looked last night and I couldn't find any information. So if anybody listening could find like an article or something saying those are actually Paul Rudd's friends, because I wanted to pick that if it's a fictional doctor. One of my testicles, Dr. Kenneth Noisewater, would have been dank. But I think it's a real person.
I heard that from you. So you're my source.
Yeah, I'm out
here. So we got to get deeper than
lies.
That.
I know. Dr. Katz. What about Dr. Katz?
Oh, yeah, Dr. Katz.
Well, that's another long-running show.
Yeah.
Well, hell, that was a lot of fun. And we want to hear your suggestions, our wonderful listeners. Hit us up at All Fantasy Pod on Twitter, allfantasypodcast@gmail.com. Shout out to everyone on the AFE Patreon, where you can get bonus episodes auction drafts, live episodes, mailbags, exclusive video content, and all sorts of other wonderful things. You can vote on topics like you did today for this one, Fictional Doctors.
Yep.
Shout out to super producer Isaac on the ones and twos. Shout out to St. Sue Carmel. Shout out to Frankie Ocean. Shout out to Sid the Dude. Shout out to Haji Beats. And more important than all of that, tune in again next week to another brand new episode of All Fantasy Everything.
Shaklackety!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.